And this is Law and Gospel on this Ruminations Thursday, April the 10th in the year of our Lord 2014. And because it's a Ruminations Day, we have with us our good friend, the Reverend Wes Reimnitz. Hi, Wes.
Hello, Thomas. How are you?
I'm doing very good, and we've got a pretty big subject today. It's kind of a follow-up from yesterday, why church attendance is declining. And I had two women pastors who have decided that during the season of Lent, they're going to spend the one on sermons on how people can have a proper checking account. And the other one is talking about how we need to take care of the earth. And pro-evolution, she was, against the Holy Scriptures that clearly teach creationism. But in speaking with you, I asked you to check out why you thought the church attendance is declining. You came up with some pretty good ideas.
Well, I had listened to the last 5 or 6 minutes yesterday, and you said we were going to talk about it. And then I went right into our Wednesday morning Bible class that I have here up at St. Paul's. And I asked them, and in research, then I went and did some research looking for some good statistics and information on the Internet. And I go, you know, this Bible class wasn't too far off. And they came up with about 5 or 6 reasons there why they see people not coming to church.
What were some of them?
Number one, don't have to go to church. You only have to believe in Jesus. You know, I can go out into the forest or out onto a boat and do my prayers there.
Well, let's take one at a time here. You know, what the devil does, as we saw in the Garden of Eden, he has what's called a white lie, which means there is truth in it. There's no doubt that nobody has to go to church in order to be saved. And I think you and I probably have examples. When I was a pastor and I'd visit my members in the hospital, sometimes there was somebody in the bed beside them, and maybe they were near death, and they asked me to pray for them. They had never really believed in Jesus Christ, but because of the prayer and the little devotion I gave to the hospital member, they came to faith, never attended a church, never joined a denomination, but because of faith in Jesus Christ, would you not agree that they would go to heaven?
Oh, well, absolutely. Absolutely.
And yet they never attended church. So what's wrong with saying all you have to do is believe and not attend church?
Well, where does faith come from? You know, when I looked at that, I went back into, you know, Edward Kaler's Summary of Christian Doctrine, just an excellent little book to pick up.
Yes.
And where is the church to be found? And he comes on, such faith is worked in the hearts of men by the Holy Spirit through the means of grace. And what are the means of grace but the word and the sacraments? And where is the word and the sacraments to be found? They're to be found in the church. In fact, we teach that.
So the point you're making is, yes, you can be saved apart from going to church, but it's at church where you will be strengthened in your faith, comforted in your faith, and this is a way, it's like kind of saying, yeah, I can always eat something from a can at home, but to make a good meal, to strengthen you even more, people tend to forget that when they say all you have to do is believe and not attend church.
I would agree with you, and I think I would add to that in this, where is Jesus wanting to be found but in his word and in his sacraments? And a true mark of the church is the pure doctrine that is taught, the pure word, and the right administration of the sacraments.
Looks like we're getting phone calls in right now, and St. Louis, Missouri, you phoned 821-0850. Toll free is 1-800-730-2727. That's 821-0850 or 1-800-730-2727. Okay, looks like that person just dropped off the line, so we'll wait a moment. And phone back if you would like to be on the air. So what's your second reason that some people say that church attendance is dwindling?
Well, second and third was kind of tied. it's your only day off or you're too busy. You know, your only day off, you're too tired to get up. And I've had to be busy all during the week, working 6 days a week or whatever, and I got to have this time to myself, so to speak. And then too busy, we got to go boating, we got recreation, we've got ball games, we've got this or that, all kinds of things planned. We just can't make it to church.
You know, what we're really talking about is a set of priorities. For example, if your mom or dad were coming to town and they were coming on Sunday morning, I don't think those reasons would be proper at all. You would look forward to seeing them. You would invite them over to the house. So that they're really, when you hear reasons like that, then this is kind of a sense of priority. Imagine if Jesus actually appeared in person and wanted to come to your house, and you gave the excuse that, well, I'm sorry, that's the only day I can sleep in, or I'm a little busy. Would that wash?
I don't think so.
You know, what I'd like to do, and we'll maybe have time to get more over what you're saying, I'm going to give you my understanding of why church attendance is dwindling. And I've listened to a lot of church services on the radio, and not on KFUO, I'm saying, but in other denominations. I believe the real reason that people are no longer going to church is even when they go to church and hear proper doctrine, they're hearing milk being preached and not meat. Because I think a lot of worship services have replaced evangelism. They think a worship service is a kind of evangelistic outreach, and therefore what they're preaching or talking about is the bare minimum and not the meat of the word.
I think you're right on target there, Tom. You know, after we had talked about this a little bit, I went back and did some more research. And it's by no strange imagination that right now we're running across these articles where people are not flocking to church. But there was an article written by George Barna midway through last year that showed that the millennial generation, which is roughly 34 and younger, were actually flocking to the church. And one of the research statistics that he came up with is that 65 to 68% of that generation wanted to go to church to hear about the Bible, wanted to hear more about Christ and what Christ has done for them. And ever since then, it's been, well, they're leaving the church. And I think you're hitting the nail on the head. They're coming to church, but they're not hearing about Jesus.
Wanda Hartley Butts wrote this in a item I was looking at. Listen to this. Maybe it would help if ministers would preach the unadulterated gospel of the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension back to heaven of Christ for people's salvation from sin. People don't need programs or cushions or self-esteem elevations. They need the hope that only Christ gives them. He alone gives people motivation to attend church. It isn't about numbers anyway. It is about faith in Christ. Even Christ said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Maybe if all ministers preached Christ and Him crucified, the church would grow and we would see a lot more happening in our church buildings.
Yeah. Succinctly, very well said.
She sure hit that on the head. And I'll tell you, if you take a look at the fastest growing areas like Madagascar, Africa, Brazil, it's because those pastors are preaching Christ and Him crucified.
And, you know, and that's something that we often state in our Lutheran confession is the pure doctrine of the gospel and the administration of the sacrament that give to us the outward marks. There's where you're going to find a church.
That's right. Let's go to the phone lines right now. Our numbers are 821-0850 in St. Louis or 1-800-730-2727. We're going to begin with David. David, you're on the air.
Hi, I just want to make a comment.
Go ahead.
What you said really struck with me because I'm a Christian man. I wouldn't call myself a Lutheran, but I have been in Lutheran churches. And to be frank with you, sometimes I told my wife I'd go home and I'd say, what did I just get done hearing? I don't even understand it.
Yes.
And it was just to give you a few examples, sometimes, I don't know, it's just I've been to other churches where I can understand the message better. But I'm thinking, what did I just get done here? It doesn't make no sense. A Boss Baby, or and these are LCMS churches, and it was so way out there that there was no message that really rang home with me.
Do you find that when you listen to KFUO, because we tell people, please listen to KFUO, the worship services. We have great pastors, I think, there. Like on Sunday morning, if you've had an opportunity to hear the preaching, do you get the same kind of reaction?
I listened to the Bible study at 10, which is pretty decent.
Yes, yes.
I don't listen to the Sunday.
Okay. Well,
I'm usually attending a different church, you know, but
I know Reverends D'Onofrio and Zwanitzer have been doing some very good Bible studies recently, and I'm glad to hear that you don't get the response. But there's no doubt one of the big problems we have in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is sermons. And I've heard a lot of them, and a lot of them are just kind of doctrinal sermons. They're not law and gospel sermons. So they're really not touching people, in my opinion, where they are. But I think that is a concern. And I sure want to thank you for calling in, Dave.
Thank you.
God bless. And we're going to go right down the phone lines, and let's talk to Mike. Mike, what's your problem with church attendance?
Listen, I was saying, well, for one thing, the importance, I think, of going to church is because it's preserved the Bible throughout the ages, so that's the importance of church services. But the reason I don't go to church is because I really find it boring.
Wow, that's an interesting point. Well, can you expand on that? Why is it boring?
It's just, I mean, you're just doing a lot of stuff that don't really mean nothing. You're just sitting there and, you know, I mean, I just don't like it. I mean, even as a little kid, I mean, my dad used to even, like, you know, give me a spanking or something if I complained, because I really hated it that bad.
Well, you know, what I would suggest for you, Mike, is to attend the church in Havana. Pastor Reimnitz, why do people not say your services are boring, or your Bible studies?
Well, in the Bible studies, we open it up so that they can ask questions, especially Bible. And if they have a question about the sermon, they can talk about it in between the services a little bit. But in the worship, he brings up a point, and unless we take the time to teach them the liturgy in the various places, like if you look in our Missouri Synod Lutheran Hymnal, the Lutheran Service Book. Behind that, they often have the Bible passages of where our liturgy comes from, right out of the Bible itself. So it's teaching the liturgy, teaching the importance of it, and then they capture meaning to it, why we do what we do in the various parts of the service.
Well said. Our numbers here in the St. Louis area, 8210850, but anywhere in North America, you can phone 1-800-730-2727. And let's go speak right now with Matt. Hi, Matt. You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Morning.
I wanted to make a comment back to your first point that you both discussed about how people, they don't need to go to church. They can worship the Lord from anywhere, and while that's true, I think really the best way that I've ever heard dealing with that point from my good friend the Reverend David Kahneman pointed out that we need to view church as almost like going to the doctor's office or going to the hospital. That we need to we need spiritual healing. We need to receive the Lord's gifts, the sacraments, and. And that is, I thought that, like I said, that really hit home for me that why we need to attend church every Sunday.
I sure appreciate those comments. And Wes, I want you to respond to that. Isn't that correct that a lot of times people don't realize they're sick, and that's what law does to help them understand how far they have failed God's will, and then the gospel comes through and shows how God fixes that problem for them?
Right, and certainly that's one of the reasons, but I think back to your caller, he's also saying, too, it's another reason to go and to know that I've got that healing in Christ. Or I was thinking in particular a couple of members that had come up to me recently and said, it's a war zone out there. It's just horrible. And I know how horrible. I've had a bad week and everything. It's great to come to church and hear that saving message of Jesus Christ and that there is hope and that there is salvation.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines and let's talk with Jan. Jan, you're on the air.
Hi. Thank you, Pastor. I like what the previous caller said. I think as people of God, we need to give a reason to go to church. And I'm looking at a couple of passages I'd like your thoughts on. 1 Kings 8, verses 29 and 30, and John 10. Verse 9, when Solomon dedicated the temple, he prayed that God's eyes would be open day and night toward the house. And we know as Christians that Jesus is that temple. And his name shall always be there. And the passage, John 10:9, where Jesus says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. We go to church to be fed, to be nourished, to be commissioned, recommissioned, and we go out and function through our vocations to give a good witness to who God is and where our salvation lies.
I really appreciate those comments, Jan. I'd like Wes to respond to them specifically as to the reason that we need to get the comfort from God.
Oh, I thought she did an excellent job. And John 10 is just, which is when we call about the Good Shepherd. I wouldn't stop with verse 9. I'd go through that whole chapter, because if you go into verse 10, it says, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. You know, people talk about the abundance of life, the boats, planes, the toys that we have, the push buttons that we have in our life.
Yes.
Do they have the real abundant life of which he's talking about, the life that we have in Christ? And you jump over to 27, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me, and they shall never perish, and no one is able to snatch them out of my hand.
That wonderful promise. Let's go back to the phone lines right now and speak to Sandy. Sandy, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. I'd just like to offer a couple scriptural reasons. To me, that's about, pretty definitive when we're trying to answer a question.
Yes.
If we go into Second Epistle of Timothy, chapter 3, I'm sure many are familiar with this. Know also chapter 3, 1, 2, 3, going on down, the last days, perilous times, and it talks about the conditions, covetous, boasters, many others, not natural affection. And then we go on over to 4, kind of continuing that thought, and it also in chapter 4, going to 2, it mentions preach the word, instant in season. These topics, we're familiar with, long-suffering and doctrine. And then the time, this is 3, this is 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And it just seems like people really do not want to hear the sound biblical truth, and it's not coming upon us unaware. We've been pre-told these things would come, and as we see that great and glorious day, the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we don't know the time, but that day is approaching, and so our hearts and souls and spirits must depend upon Him alone. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Wes?
I liked the Bible passages that you used there. And that's why we started out talking about where's the church to be found, the outward marks, the pure teaching of the doctrine and the right administration of the sacraments. But to her, I would also add 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, in the middle of all her discussion. You know, Paul says to Timothy, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing that you have learned them from childhood. You have known the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise and that leads to salvation through faith with us in Christ Jesus." So we bring our children, we bring our families, we learn that word of God that brings us salvation.
Yes. I have a Bible verse that I'm going to use because I've changed it to kind of update it. But first of all, let me read what it actually says. It's 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and following. "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews, folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Now, here's how I have had a paraphrase of it. "For Americans demand relevance and meaning, but we preach Christ crucified, irrelevant to most Americans and folly to rationalists, but to those who are called, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God."
Very good. I love that.
I tell you, that's why I did what I did yesterday with those female pastors, thinking that the season of Lent was the opportunity to talk about money. How you handle your checking account, how you handle your money. And there was even an economist that I read who, in response to that, said, you know, pastors should stick to what they're supposed to be doing, namely preaching Christ and Him crucified, and leave the professional management of money to those who know what they're talking about. The worst thing a pastor can do, and this happens when pastors are for evolution, they show their ignorance of true science. And all you need to do is listen to Pastor Worth here on KFUO on Fridays to show that they really don't know what they're doing. And just before you respond, Pastor Ryan Mitz, I want to encourage people to be listening to KFUO on April 24th, 25th, and 26th. The regular programming is going to be set aside for what we call the Share-a-thon, and it's an opportunity for you to support the ministry here of KFUO. Do you know of another radio station that is full-time sharing the message of Christ crucified like KFUO does, Wes?
Not that I'm aware of. You know, I catch it on the internet as much as I can, and of course I can listen to it all the way from Havana down to Springfield, a distance of 46 miles there, and I can pick it up heading east.
You do have a radio station in Havana, and in my opinion, the best programming occurs on a Sunday morning because of a certain worship service that is being broadcast.
We do a live broadcast every Sunday at 7:45, and it's interesting because my members have talked with people in the community and outside the community, and they said they love to listen. And as you know, I don't consider myself by any great shakes a great preacher, but I try to give them good, sound law and gospel, you know, all the time. And, of course, we have you come every so often, and they enjoy listening to you, too.
Yeah, this is something that I just don't understand, how pastors who have the Bible start talking about what this one lady said, you know, self-esteem elevations, you know, where people get their ego stroked by pastors and telling them that, you know, you can accomplish anything with the help of God and the help of the Holy Spirit. And so it becomes a prosperity gospel rather than a message of law that we fail to meet the requirements of God. So God steps in, meets the requirements for us, and then gives us the victory that He has won for us.
That's right. Nowhere else are you going to hear it. You know, we don't have to work our way to heaven. Christ has done that all for us.
This week is both Palm Sunday and Passion. What's going to be the theme of your service and at what time?
Well, we're at on Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday at 7:45 and 10:15. And I call it the Amazing Journey. You know, and there's that TV show where they go out.
Oh, yes.
Couples, and they try to win $1 million, and they take them through these various countries. Well, we're going to talk about the amazing journey that we take in our life with the cross of Christ, and the amazing journey that our Savior takes as he heads to Mount Calvary, as we discuss it during Holy Week.
So the amazing journey is really about what Jesus has done for us, first of all, and then we kind of go along in that caravan, receiving the wonderful benefits of his amazing journey.
You betcha.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Pastor Reimnitz, for being with us today. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow is going to be Open Mic Friday, and it's going to be an opportunity for you to send me any emails with any questions you might have or phone in during the program. Our new email address is lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Till tomorrow, and remember that Share-a-thon, April 24th to 26th. I'm Tom Baker. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.